Hi, I'm Lisa G, compulsive eater, and I am a real compulsive eater. I say that because I didn't know when I first found OA and when I first found the rooms that I even had an eating disorder. So what brought me, I mean, it's a long story, what brought me here, but I knew that I was an emotional eater. I knew that I did strange things with food and I ate too much food. The one thing I knew about any 12-step program was what I saw on TV and in the movies is you stand up and say, "Hi, my name is so and so. I'm an alcoholic." Like I didn't know it was a spiritual program. I didn't know that there was the kind of fellowship and what I was going to find in recovery here. So many gifts have been given to me since I've been here. 2 years, my 2 year in OA anniversary is next month on Father's Day. And so that is, I'm going to say, two of some of the best years of my life where I've seen my personality change. I've seen spiritual awakenings. I've seen miracles in mine and other people's lives. A big part of my program is working with others. I not just sponsoring, but just doing intensive work with other alcoholics, as I say in the big book, is something that keeps my program really strong and alive. So, how I found program is okay. So I went to my PCP for a regular physical checkup. And my results were really bad. I was not just overweight, but I had high cholesterol, high blood pressure, prediabetes. I had some bad blood work results, and it really scared me. So I walked away from that at the time, not knowing, but I had hit my bottom. That was it. I was not going to be an obese diabetic. It terrified me. So I immediately tried to start healing myself through food because that's what I knew was how to control was through food. So intermittent fasting, lectin-free diet, eating to help my blood work change, my cholesterol, my prediabetes, and guess what? It worked. So I went back to the doctor 3 months later, got the blood work results. She was like, "Your numbers are better than mine. Like, what are you doing? This is incredible. And you've lost this weight and you must feel so good." And I was no longer pre-diabetic and I had good cholesterol. And she was like, "Wow, what an accomplishment. How are you feeling?" I wasn't feeling anything. I was just as miserable as I had been 3 months prior. And that really woke me up. I was like, "Why don't I have a sense of accomplishment? What's going on? Why am I not happy? And where's my joy or my pride or my I didn't understand." And so I came home from that doctor's visit really confused and just started crying and praying to a God I didn't believe in. Just, what is wrong? Why am I not feeling anything? I feel just as numb and depressed as I did 3 months ago. Nothing has changed. All these physical results have changed. Nothing has changed for me. And that was a part of me starting to understand that just because my physical body might change, my spiritual body has been broken this whole time. And I was doing some cleaning. I'm a writer and I have a lot of journals. I was going through some old journals and boxing some stuff up, and a little sticky note came flying out of one of my journals, and it was like a 20-year-old book. And I looked at the little sticky note and it said Overeaters Anonymous, and it was in my writing. I don't remember ever going to an OA meeting. And it said extra weight might be to keep men away. And then it said, "You don't have to be big to be safe." And I was like, "What? What? I pinned it up on the bathroom wall. I didn't know what it was. So it was there for a while, and yeah, I was actually thinking I was leaving Hawaii, and I was selling stuff and packing and cleaning, and I was still doing my intermittent fasting and my lectin-free diet, and I was cruising along and still really miserable, and I didn't want to make this move, but yeah, I was going towards it because my family really needed me to come back for to help out, and I wanted to help. I wanted to be able to be of service to my family. And so again, I found myself just crying and praying to a God I didn't believe in, because at that time I had no higher power. I had no faith or hope. And it's as if I saw myself go over to the laptop and just witness myself typing in Overeaters Anonymous, Hilo Town, because I live in a tiny town in Hawaii. And a Facebook page popped up and there was a meeting. So I go to this meeting. I go half a dozen times or so, and there's no recovery there. I didn't know what recovery was, but while I was there, I realized that this isn't what I need. I need something more than this. But we were reading the literature, and it was basically a diet club every week. And so I came home from that, and one day was just thinking, there's got to be more than this meeting. And someone suggested, why don't you check out AA meetings? So I went to the laptop again to look up AA meetings, but I accidentally typed in OA meeting right now. Well, that led me to Zoom. And the next thing I knew, I was in a Zoom room. I went to four meetings in a row. I had found my people. I didn't know. I was hearing all these secret things people did with food. I was understanding what it means to be a compulsive eater, overeating, undereating. I am an overeater. I could be an undereater. I've never identified as anorexic, but I know how to starve myself to lose weight. And I got a sponsor that day. Someone who said they would start working with me. They said, I don't want you to leave today without some kind of support. So yeah, I'll be your temporary sponsor. And she ended up working with me for 6 months. So during that time, we started working through the steps. And I was like, I don't see how I can take these steps. I don't have a higher power. And I would tell anyone who would listen, I don't have a higher power. How am I supposed to do this program? And so finally, someone said, do you think it's possible that there's a power greater than you? Yeah, duh. There's plenty of powers greater than me. And they're like, that's all you need. Just the possibility. Like, it doesn't have to be defined as anything else. I was like, not a god or a religion. No, just a power greater than you. I'm like, well, okay. I get that. Okay. So I still, when we got to step three, it was like, how do you turn your will and your life over? How to the care of God? Like, I still didn't get it. And what happened is I would go to a lot of meetings. I have a lot of free time. I don't work anymore, and I've taken a pretty big deep dive into OA. And in those first few months, I went to several meetings a day if I could, and got all the literature and started reading and really immersing myself in the program. And I so randomly would just go to meetings all over the place. I found a meditation meeting one morning, and part of the meditation was a 10-minute guided OA approved meditation. And so, can you guys hear the roosters? Oh my gosh, they're going off right here. Okay, so during this meditation, getting quiet, listening to this voice guiding me through it, getting closer and closer to finding some stillness in my mind for the first time in years. I remembered, it's like, oh yeah, I went to yoga. I used to meditate and do yoga for 20 years. I used to have some peace and some serenity. And so listening to this meditation and getting quiet, my heart just broke open and I started bawling. And I realized that I really was connected, that there was a system in place that supported me, even though I have no idea what that how that system works or operates, other than I breathe the oxygen and it keeps me alive. And things usually work out in often better than I think that they would. My plans and ideas, things seem to not always work out how I wanted them, but often how better than how I thought they could have been. So started to get the concept of a higher power. So step 11, sought through prayer and meditation, that's what really got me to take step three. So how do you turn your will and your life over to the care of God, of a God? Did you understand God? Well, my will is my thoughts. My life is my actions. So how do I turn my thoughts and my actions? Well, you take step four, you keep going, you make a decision. Step three is just a decision to do this. So you just keep working the steps. And that really simplified it for me. I got into my fourth step. The things that I had carried around for decades, resentments and hurts and ways that I had been harmed, and certain people in particular that had hurt me, that used to haunt me. Like I had nightmares and was very afraid of social media because I didn't want to be found by some abusive, people in my life. And in my fourth step, I had to do a lot of prayer. I had to really put a lot of energy focusing on forgiving these people, which forgiveness, as we know, is for ourselves. It's not really for them. But we do it so we can stop holding on to and hurting and remembering and carrying this stuff. And I don't think that the grief necessarily will leave from all these situations, but it lessens. And so higher power came in after I had been praying for weeks and weeks and weeks for different people. And I woke up one day and was like, huh, I don't feel like I need to pray for this person today. Does that mean I forgive them? Like, what? And so in my fourth step, I didn't have to like let go of this stuff. It just was removed, gone. That means there's more spaciousness. I have more of an open mind, more of an open heart. And what does that mean to me? That means there's room for something to grow. So if things have been removed, then there's fertile soil and new roots can take place. So my character defects being removed, then my assets and going from selfishness to selflessness, right? And from self-centeredness to focusing on other people and wanting to be more of service. So that's a big part of my program. And I never did make that move back to Oregon. Once I started recovery, I found OA and I told my family, I was like, look, I don't know what it is that's happening with me, but I'm in a healing process. There's no way I can move back there now. And I have to, and that was 2 years ago. I'm still here and I'm still doing my healing work. I'm still in recovery. I've taken two vacations over the last 2 years, and both times I have relapsed. And I don't blame the vacation. I just think that my recovery isn't strong enough for me to change my environment so much that I can stay on my food plan when I'm traveling. I haven't quite figured out how to do that yet. And we know that the first bite doesn't start a relapse. There's a pre-lapse, right? Like the emotional buildup, what led to that thought, that obsession of the mind that I could somehow take a bite safely. So for me, the emotional buildup is just going to visit my family. Like that was too much for me, just the idea of it. Even though in my heart, I really do want to somehow be of service and I would love to move back there and help out more. So my service is in program and I do a lot of behind the scenes stuff at meetings. I work with a lot of people. I do sponsor and I also do temporary sponsorship. If you have never checked out the 12-day temporary sponsorship pamphlet on OA.org, it's a great way to start working with someone and getting them going in the concepts and understanding what program is about. And it's been such a useful tool for me. So that's part of what I do. I did help start a new meeting. We're turning 1 year old this month. We're actually having our 1 year anniversary Saturday. That's tomorrow. So that's exciting to start a meeting and see it grow and become a born. And it's higher powers meeting, but I'm pretty attached to it. I feel like I helped to birth it. And so that, and then I do service at a lot of meetings. I did just recently step up to help out in my Hawaii virtual region, being a rep and treasurer. And this weekend is the virtual region assembly. I'm going to be doing some service there. I'm just interested in what goes on. How does this all work? And how does the group conscience come together to make these decisions? Because, in our traditions and in the concepts, we realize that there's no higher power other than higher power. So how does this work? So I'm really interested in that and learning more about that. What's going on right now is recently I went through some of my amends, and in that process, I reconnected with an old friend who I hadn't spoken to in many years, but I've known for like 30 years, but we just had been out of touch. So we reconnected, and it was not really a healthy connection. This person was very deep in their addiction, and not looking for recovery, just, struggling and suffering. So it was very hard to witness this. And it actually came to an end to where I realized this is a really toxic environment. So, with the recovery that I have now, with the lifestyle that I live, with the honesty and authenticity that I try to show up with, I couldn't be who I was with this person. I didn't feel like I could trust this person. Anyway, the relationship had to end and I had to, cut them out of my life. And that was really painful. And there's some grieving around that. And at the same time, as soon as I did it, whoosh, there was a huge release, like a weight had been lifted, and I got some of myself back. So over the past year that I was connected with this person, there was a lot of dishonesty involved because I wasn't sharing all of myself, and I didn't fully trust this person that I could really. Like, I trust people in OA that I have known for, a few months more than I trust this person that I had known for 30 years. With that's the kind of love and support and just understanding that I found in the community, in the fellowship. I have fellows that have turned into great friends. I've been able to meet fellows face to face when I've traveled. On another island too in Hawaii and to the mainland. And so what do I want to say about that? I guess is getting around to the fact that my understanding of program, of how the steps work, of how the tools work, that's really helped me to be okay with this grieving, the loss of this relationship, and actually recognizing how healthy it is that I didn't let this continue to go on in my life. And yeah, I think I will just say thank you so much for letting me share some of my story with you today.